Everybody wants to be a cat, because a cat's the only cat who knows where it's at. Everybody's picking up on that feline beat.
What's up, cool cats? How's everybody doing this week? It is Saturday, and that means it is time for another episode of the Scotty Joe Podcast. I'm your host, Scotty Joe, episode 9. So this week's been really cool for me, guys. I did something really cool. I like to juggle. I am a juggler. I juggle things. That is what I do. I like to do that. So I went outside a few days ago, and I wanted to street perform, and I decided that I was going to juggle, and I was going to see how long I could juggle. So I took 3 pens, and I put a sign out that I'll post on the website, scottyjoe.com, for you to see. It basically just says that. I was bored. I wanted to see how long I could juggle. Here we go. And then I started, and then I did not stop. And internally, my rules were I was not going to stop until I fainted or passed out. Something really dramatic. I don't know why, but that's just what I decided. I continued to juggle for 5 hours. I'm not joking. I continued to juggle for 5 hours. Now, I'm going to be honest. I did drop it a couple of times. But, you know, the whole point was just to see how long I could go. So I picked them up and I kept going. I didn't really take any breaks. I hadn't eaten the whole day, which was kind of dumb. And I started to get some people who were curious. I started to attract a little crowd. This one guy named Jose. Jose, if you're listening, shout out to you, buddy. Jose stayed with me for 4 of those 5 hours. Now, he came on the second hour. He took my camera for me. He filmed some. I'm going to post some to my Facebook and to the website. And I mean, he was absolutely awesome. He went to dinner and like brought me a bag of oranges and some protein shakes. Like he like made me eat. It's really funny. Like it was painful. I think it was painful for him to watch me go through it. But he was a great guy, and I'm really glad that he came up and I got to meet him. I put a little box out, and I put a little note with it with some pencils and said, "Write me a message. You know, look at what I'm doing. Write me a message." That's really all I said. Really nondescriptive. The messages I got a whole bucket full of them, so I'm going to pick through some of them and read them to you. Some of them, you cannot read the handwriting. Some of them were very simple. I was outside of a bus stop, and this one says, "Thanks for entertaining me while I wait for the bus." Very simple. Some people are straightforward. Then you get ones like, "You are a cool man. Have a fun time juggling, a.k.a. Scoob, Scooby-Doo, Scoob." Some people just really, go crazy with theirs. This one says, "Let's go skiing. Smoke weed every day, man. 2013. Meezy and Gumby." So, there you go. This one guy even offered me marijuana as I was juggling. I was like, "I can't stop." And he was like, "We can smoke it." So, yeah.
Come on, cool cats. Let's swing. Bobby, pick up that axe. Let's do something.
So here's one. I think this was a nurse. I watched her put this one in. It says, "I can't remember one time that I've helped someone. All I know, it's that I always love for others to feel better. I know that's in my nature to help others. Funny thing is, I have the nature to help others, but when it comes to me..." And then it stops. So some people really, really opened up. Some people drew some pictures, made me look kind of sunburned. Most of these I cannot read. I can't read most of the people's hand. This one says, "Santa Claus, I want to love forever, no matter what?" Question mark? So... Oh, where's the sassy one? There was a sassy... Hold on, let me go through the... This is a good one. This one's sassy. "Social experiments like this are really rad. What I don't get is the appliance dolly. Everything else is pretty self-explanatory to me. What will people write? Will they write at all? What will other..." Oh, this isn't the one. Oh, sorry. This is my favorite. All right, this is written in blue ink on a little piece of paper. "Boredom is a state of mind. You changed your state by juggling, so I applaud you for taking the initiative. Next time, try to pick something that isn't as strenuous as juggling all day to end your boredom. Thanks for the encounter." How sassy is that? "Next time, don't juggle." It's like, I'm going to juggle if I want to juggle. You ease your boredom by riding the bus. I ease my boredom by juggling while you ride the bus. Get out of my face. So yeah, it was really fun. You can see pictures and videos up on the website. My wrists were swollen for like 3 days. They're still kind of swollen. I tried to go on the monkey bars yesterday at the beach, and it really hurt. But they're fine. It'll come back to normal. It's great. I love it. All right. So I'm going to sit down, interview a good friend of mine. She's so sweet. We went to school together, and she's doing so well for herself, and I want her to come on and talk. Her name is Rachel Fowler. She works for Prologue Studios. She is an editor, and she's very creative and talented. And I wanted her to come on and tell us what it was like working on the Oscars with her crew. And, and I want to thank her for that awesome Bond montage they made. That was so cool. I loved the Bond video so much. How much Bond knowledge do you have?
Very little. Actually, you would be surprised.
Did you have to watch them?
Before doing the undertaking of attacking that piece.
Which was like, what, 3 minutes? Two, four, five?
Less than that. It was like it became something much, I wouldn't say smaller, but a very like shorter segment that kind of was almost like a sizzle highlight reel to Bond.
Yeah.
But it started out as a very like a 3 minute piece, but I think it ended up being around 45 seconds to a minute.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, we started researching all of the Bond moments from the first film, Dr. No, all the way to Skyfall, about 3 months ago. So it's been an undertaking. And it all started with me seeing my first Bond film, which was Skyfall. And I hadn't even seen any Bond film.
Whoa, that was your absolute first? What a first.
Way to start, right? 50 years in.
I mean, if you think about, like, the first Bonds all the way to Daniel Craig, like, Daniel Craig is so stoic and so, like, barely shows anything on his face compared to, like, the other Bonds.
He just has blue eyes. That's all you need to see.
That's true.
Those baby blues.
That's all you need of Daniel Craig. You're right. That's why all the shots are, like, right on his face. His, like,
exactly.
I love how, like, his, like, he's supposed to have, like, dirt on his face, but it's just like awesome brown makeup, like put in the right spots.
It's just like my face is too pretty.
Even when I'm dirty, I'm beautiful. Okay, cool. Alright, well, I'm gonna ask you some Bond questions. I'm gonna see. Okay, I was looking up some questions to ask you about James Bond, and I didn't know a lot of these myself. So, yeah, good luck.
Thanks.
Okay, first of all, how many of the Bond movies can you name?
I can try to name them all. Let's see. Dr. No. Does that have to be in order?
If it's in order, you get extra points.
Uh-oh.
Ready?
Okay.
Go.
It's a challenge. Dr. No. That's all I can do. Dr. No. In order. I Who Loved Me. GoldenEye. Goldfinger. His Majesty's Secret Service.
Nice.
Let's see. Skyfall.
Yeah.
The World Is Not Enough.
Good job.
Die Another Day.
Yeah.
Moonraker.
Yeah.
I'm losing it. Quantum of Solace.
Oh, nice.
Casino Royale.
All right, you got all Daniel Craig's?
I got all of Daniel Craig's.
One more Pierce Brosnan.
Uh-oh.
You got The World Is Not Enough, Die Another Day, and GoldenEye. What's the fourth, Pierce Brosnan?
Can I curse on this podcast?
Yeah, go ahead. I'll bleep it. I'll give you a hint. Yesterday always dies, but
tomorrow never
dies.
There you go.
Nice.
Missing some of the older ones, some of the Sean Connery ones.
You got one of the Timothy Daltons. You got License to Kill, but what's the second one?
Live and Let Die.
Oh, you're really close. It's got the word live in it. Well, three of the letters, L-I-V. It's
The Living Daylights.
Yeah, The Living Daylights.
The Living Daylights.
I didn't realize how many of these movies there were.
There are a lot. We had a list from Dr. No was like 1962.
It is, yeah.
There you go. 1962 all the way up until this year.
Oh my gosh, there's like one every year. It's like Dr. No 62, Russia with Love 63, Goldfinger 64.
I missed that one. From Russia with Love.
I like that title.
Yeah, it's good. What's crazy is, like, just watching, because I basically watched every single movie, and we pulled selects from every film, and how do you, like, it's like, how do you even start, like, pulling selects from every single Bond movie? Especially
right.
for someone like me, who I had never really seen a Bond movie before, and it's kind of crazy. It's actually from like, the shot selection to the editing to just the moments, you know, like, every Bond film almost works in the same way. Like, he's always picking up his car from valet.
Yeah.
Being slapped by a girl. He's always, you know, in some random car chase, whether it's a boat or a motorcycle or, you know, an Aston Martin.
Yeah. Do you know there's only one Bond movie where James Bond does not drive a car? Only one. And that is You Only Live Twice, and it's Sean Connery. Do you know that?
I did not know that.
I did not either before I Wikipedia'd it.
I bet you have all of the fun facts for Bond.
Yeah, I've got tons of them. Sean Connery wears a toupee in all the Bond movies that he starred in. I didn't know that.
No idea. I had no idea.
Man.
So much Bond history. I almost kind of felt like I was like, I'm getting tasked with this, and I'm not, like, I haven't seen any of these films before. Like, I kind of felt like an odd duckling.
It's really interesting because it's, like, it's just so ongoing. Like, when I talk to people about it, I always imagine, I don't think he's the best, but I always imagine that Pierce Brosnan is James Bond. And it's not because I, like, loved him the most as James Bond, because I liked him more, but it's just because when I was little, he was Pierce Brosnan. You know, he was in the 1995, 1997 movie, 1999, like, right as I was, like, realizing what I was watching. But, like, my dad and them talk about Roger Moore and Timothy Dalton, and, like, think about the generation now that, I mean, like, you think of Daniel Craig now when you think of James Bond.
Yeah. It's so crazy.
It's
so crazy how, like, it's kind of surpassed time almost.
Yeah.
If you look back at all the films, they've created this world of Bond.
Right.
And you believe it. Like, you believe it. You don't think of him differently. You're like, oh, yeah, that's James Bond. Like, he can do anything.
Oh, well, yeah, there you go. Definition of a franchise. They got
right
us.
There. Right there. But no, he's been revitalized so many times. And I think there was even a couple movies where Sean Connery, there was like a break. And there was another Bond that came in. And then Sean Connery came back.
Oh, man.
Film.
Wait, I gotta look at that. Oh, you're right. George Lazenby was on Her Majesty's Secret Service in 1969.
Yes.
Right after Sean Connery did You Only Live Twice, and then he came back for Diamonds Are Forever.
And he came back and did.
Boom, look at that.
Can't get enough of the Connery. I would say, though, that Connery is probably the sexiest Bond out of all of them.
He is pretty, he's pretty charming. I love how charming and smirky he is.
Mm-hmm. Smirky, that's a good word. He's a smirky man.
I miss that smirkiness, like, because you don't get that from Daniel Craig. Daniel Craig's all about, like, I'm going to seduce you with my eyes. And
yeah. Connery's more about, like, the, he's almost like a womanizer. I would say Roger Moore is probably the most kind of a man whore.
Yeah.
Connery is a really good blend of everything James Bond, you know, from the from the drinking to the cigar smoking to the fighting in a very elegant way.
Yeah.
Like, seeing off his suit. You know, we started with him. I think he's the quintessential James Bond, although Pierce Brosnan's pretty badass, I would say.
I can always imagine Pierce Brosnan jumping off that dam and running down the dam. It's just my favorite.
So.
Did you, okay, now this is really strange. This was a fact I looked up that I thought was really cool. A famous performer filmed a cameo scene in the movie Diamonds Are Forever. And he was at the casino playing roulette, but the scene was later cut from the movie. Guess out of all the comedians in the world who this would be. Just take three guesses. This is such a rant. Like, how are you ever going to get this?
Question. Jim Carrey.
Oh, I wish. I'll just go ahead and tell you. You'll never get it. It's Sammy Davis Jr.
What?
Can you believe that?
What?
Yup, he filmed a small scene and it got cut.
That's insane.
Oh.
That's a small role.
And in one of the James Bond movies, Mr. Bean was in one of them, actor Rowan Atkinson, and it was his first movie. And it was Never Say Never Again.
Never Say Never Again. Way to start it out, Rowan Atkinson.
I know.
Mr. Bean. So he's kind of almost like a James Bond in and of himself. He's kind of a...
Are you saying Mr. Bean?
James Bond, but yeah.
I don't know, man. Mr. Bean is a... I get what you're saying. Like, he's like his epic character that keeps going.
He's like James Bond's brother.
Yes, I think it is very valid to say Mr. Bean is James Bond's brother. And I think that is factual.
Yes.
These are facts. What did you think about the Oscars in itself? Any awards you were surprised about? I want to go ahead and talk to you about this, because I want people to know my opinion. Like, I'm wearing a... Oh, I'm not now. I changed clothes. But I was wearing a Pixar shirt. I love Pixar. You know this about me, Rachel.
Yes.
You know I do. And
when I think Pixar, I now have, like, a side-by-side image of Scott Nicholson. Anytime I think of Pixar...
Okay, so, like, I cannot get over how much I love that company. But more, I love the guys who started that company, and I love the creativeness that went behind it. Anyways, that being said, they won this year. Brave won the Academy Award for Best Animated Picture. I knew that they were going to get it, but I do not think Pixar had the best animated movie of 2012.
Let me guess what you're going to say.
Go ahead.
I'm a Wreck-It!
Yeah, Wreck-It Ralph! Everybody knows it! Everybody knows it! Mm-hmm. It was just so much better, and it's such a conflicting feeling, because like, I kind of see Pixar as like a really cool brother, even though I'm in no way, shape, or form related or have any connection to that company. It's just, like, I just feel that company so much. So, like, to see them get an award, but I really don't think they should have gotten it. It's like, oh, I can't really say anything, because it's
that's
like...
That's a lot for you to say. You must really like Wreck-It Ralph.
Oh, my... Okay, Rich Moore, who's the director, who came over from The Simpsons and, like, comes over from that mentality, and goes over to Disney, and in an interview, he said John Lasseter, you know, brought him into the office at Disney and was like, look, Rich, I don't know what you are thinking that we want from you here at Disney, but we want you to do what you do. Don't be limited. Don't think you have to make it pretty and birds sing and musicals. Do what you do and just have fun. And it was just the most incredible animated movie last year. And it was just so good. And Brave was good. Good job, Mark Andrews. Good job. Good job, Brenda Chapman. Good job, everybody. But we all need to be fair. Okay? We all know Wreck-It Ralph was extremely fun. Like, there was a targeted demographic for Brave. There really was. And Wreck-It Ralph's demographic was so much bigger. So much wider.
It was just the scale of Wreck-It Ralph.
Yes.
And it really was, if you think about it, it was the underdog, just like Ralph. And this film had a great marketing campaign, except for the fact that why didn't Ralph's grocery store have any merchandise for that movie? I still don't know why they would never do that.
Wait, what? What? Say that again?
Just having merchandise in Ralph's grocery store in Los Angeles. You think they could have...
Oh, some kind of yeah.
Nothing. Missed the mark on that one.
Yeah, they totally did.
But, no, it was just great. It was fun, and it was really imaginative. And
It was like Disney's Toy Story.
Yeah. No, totally. There were so many characters to, like, grab hold of and really connect with, and the story. I mean, at the end of the day, the story was just great. I think what was lacking with Brave, although from a technological standpoint, just the artistry and the beauty and the hair, like, that movie is just a hair flip waiting to happen. Like that's what I think of when I think of Brave. I think of just this beautiful textured like landscape and
right. I whenever I think of Brave, like I like the story, but I don't think there were any. Brave was promoted or like came across from like the people who are really into Pixar and like follow the company. It's like, oh, your mind's gonna be blown because this is our first female protagonist, and guess what? We're gonna do a fairy tale completely different. So they just had this big mentality of we're gonna break down all the walls, but they didn't really, you know? The girl didn't choose the prince. Well, all three of her options were complete idiots. Would you choose them? You know, I wanted to be able to be like, why didn't she choose? Is she a lesbian? Is this what we're doing? I didn't know what was going on, but I was like, well, duh, she's not gonna choose them. They're all just numbskulls, and I just felt like that whole movie was like, I felt like somebody found a wig in a closet. It was like, oh, we should do a movie about this wig, you know, because it was all about the hair. They were so obsessed with the hair. They're like, this hair is gonna be great. People are gonna love this hair, and guess what? People love that hair, but hair doesn't make a movie.
No, it does not.
You can see. I'm really frustrated. I'm. It's such a conflicting feeling to just. I don't know. I don't know.
Gotta let it go, Scott.
I know. And to all my Pixar friends out there who listen to this podcast, I love you guys. I'm so sorry.
I think they might agree too. I don't know. Those two films to be up for it, like in the same category. It's pretty freaking awesome, though.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Very well deserving.
Well, and to be fair, John Lasseter is now, you know, he's in charge of Disney Animation as well. He's the head creative officer. And so he, you know, he came in and starting with Tangled is really starting to shape this company into something new again. So he's come over from Pixar. To be fair, the Pixar man is at Disney. So you get that Pixar vibe in Wreck-It Ralph. You get... You know, you're starting to get that. While Brave was like kind of being like, okay, Andrew, you take this. I'm going to work on this. You know, so to be fair, it's kind of all one thing now.
Right.
So
It's like they both won.
Yeah. There you go. That is a great way to put it, Rachel. We're going to say it like that. Everybody won. Good job, everybody.
Good job. Good job, guys.
Good job.
Good job. What did you think about... Who won best song?
Is that?
Who won?
I don't remember.
Wasn't it?
I don't remember actually.
They did. I don't know. They did like a weird thing where they had like a performance and then they had like a music video for like at least a solid minute of broadcast time.
Oh.
Like a documentary song about the Arctic.
I have no idea. I don't even think I saw that part.
You didn't see that part.
I don't think I did. No. I don't remember that at all.
It wasn't very memorable, that's for sure. Oh. I think I was just upset because usually that category, out of all of the Oscars, I love that category the best. They usually do something every year that's kind of, you know, they have a performance or... like when they had the people from Once perform, came up and they performed their song.
Uh-huh.
I felt like overall this year's Oscars were kind of strange. And there's just a lot of music, but it was kind of disjointed.
Yeah, it was very strange. I mean, they had this like underlying, through line of everything's music and movies, but like the music they chose was very strange.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know what, maybe because I think all the music was like super cliche, but it's only cliche because it's so popular from those movies. So it's kind of difficult because you're celebrating the cliches at that point. You're like, oh, Jaws all the time. You're like, oh, the Jaws music, I'm so tired of it, but that's where it came from.
It was awkward. And then Forrest Gump, we had a drinking game set up where every time we heard the theme from Forrest Gump, we take a drink, which was like 8 times.
Yeah, that's true. I think I had a drinking game that every time Seth MacFarlane looked smug with himself, I drank. or got nervous. Just yes. He's so interesting to watch because, like, he can do it. I mean, he did it. He pulled it off. But you could tell he was like, he was ready for those rehearsals to be over. He was ready. He was like, man, this is the hardest thing I've ever done in my entire life.
I'm done. It's a big undertaking, and like everybody's kind of like, Seth MacFarlane, who's he? Family Guy. Like, what has he done? But I was impressed for not really knowing much about him. He came on, and you know, he's a very talented singer, I think.
Yeah, he's got a great voice.
Good job.
Nice.
He looks like a Ken doll. Like the Ken doll from Toy Story.
He kind of does. With that big smile of his.
Yeah.
True. So, okay, so Rachel, what's next for you over at Prologue Studios? You still working there?
Yes, I am. Awesome. No, I got fired.
Yeah, what a weird question.
You still working there? Yeah. No, yeah, I can't really discuss what I'm working on next, but it's always something exciting, and it's always an adventure, and it's always got me up until 2 a.m. working, so.
Oh, awesome. Well, I can't wait to see. Do you have, so for all our listeners out there, you can go to, what is it, prologstudios.com, I assume?
It is prologue.com.
Nice.
Or you can go on Prologue Films' Facebook page, which we actually have the Bond sequence up. It's up on the Prologue Films website.
Great.
Like them on Facebook.
Great. Thank you, Rachel, for coming on and talking to us.
Thank you, Scott.
And that wraps us up for this week. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in to this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you found something that you liked and found delightful. Send me a message. Let me know what you think. Comment. Do whatever you gotta do. Hope you guys are doing well. I'm Scotty Joe, and thank you for listening to the Scotty Joe Podcast.